When I first started even thinking about making jewelry, I knew I wanted to reuse materials, especially with the ever-soaring prices of precious metals. It wasn't until I read about Winifred Mason, a pioneering black woman jeweler who created luxe West Indian-inspired pieces in copper in the 1940s. Her work was coveted and one of a kind, so she ended up selling her designs through very upscale retailers throughout New York. It made me think about working in brass. I told myself that I would offer more precious metals with people with sensitivities, but I wanted to create affordable luxury. I wanted to create something that anyone had access to, but with a meaning, and definitely reusing and looking for materials or old stock or dead stock stones or chains. I think it's a really great way to eliminate waste and to reuse what is already there. Jewelry has inspired me to look into my roots, to look deep within myself and look at the history of where I come from and everything that's happened. When you're an immigrant and you come to the US at a very young age, you tend to lose a connection to yourself because you feel that urge to blend in and be as American as you can, and you get made fun of, and so you forget and you leave everything behind. And I think through jewelry, I've been able to tell myself that I want to pay homage to where I'm from, and so I look towards Mexico for inspiration. The flora, the fauna, the indigenous people that have lived there and continue to live there, and hopefully one day, through jewelry, I'm able to give back. It was through jewelry that I was able to discover that the area where I grew up in Mexico, in Oaxaca, was and continues to be Mixteca territory. The Mixteca people were known as farmers and gatherers, but surprisingly, they were also known for jewelry making, especially lost wax method. I felt like I was meant for this, They believed that everything had a spirit, and everything, you were connected through your ancestors, through your loved ones, through everything. And I think that's something that helps me decide what to design or what materials to use, because I let the energy of a certain stone or a piece of acrylic, or anything really, I let them kind of guide the design, or let me get, or give me an idea of what to use and how to put it together. Then once I've chosen the material, I take inspiration from the flora and fauna of Mexico. Everything has a story. There, every single animal and every single plant has a story, and it's connected to the indigenous people of Mexico and its history. And I think that's something to honor in my jewelry. I have some earrings that I've made with carnelian and brass, and I call them the jitomate earrings because tomatoes were first discovered in Mexico, in the southern part of North America. And that's something that I feel like sometimes people forget, and through these discoveries that I'm doing while I'm doing research, looking for inspiration, I'm learning and about like the massive impact that Mexico has had throughout the world and throughout history. Even when it comes to making something custom, I feel like there will always be something that a designer or an artist will include in something custom that's always a part of them, where it be like metal choice or their logo. And I think for me, I would have to say, when it comes to necklaces or bracelets, I have a clasp I call the tendril clasp, and it was inspired by the Morning Glory tendril. And you can see Morning Glory tendrils on the statue of Xochipilli. who was the deity of flowers and art. And I think that's a really great deity to have on your side when you're a creative person. And I think that was my way of paying homage to that and also having something unique, because I think a lot about accessibility as well when it comes to making a jewelry. And most of my designs say necklaces clasp at the front, and it's not only a design choice, but I think a lot about people who might have, you know, problems with arthritis and or just might not want to struggle when it comes to putting on a piece of jewelry. And I think that's something that this clasp allows you to do. It's a basic hook and eye clasp, but it's modeled after the very beautiful way that Morning Glory tends to grasp onto whatever surface it's growing on. And I think that's one of the personal innovations that I include in all of the custom work that I do. In terms of visibility, I think wearing jewelry will always make you stand out, even the dainty stuff. But to me, the more the better, because most of my life I've been told to blend in, to do this and that, to get from point A to point B, and then you die. Then I saw this documentary about Iris Ample. You know who she is. She's the older white woman with the big black glasses and all of the jewelry on her. She wears everything that she wants, and she isn't afraid of color. And it was so inspiring to hear her tell stories about her youth and the one time she was told she wasn't able to wear skinny jeans because denim was for men. And that got me thinking about adornment and clothing and gender and how we put so much emphasis on women's wear, men's wear, when you think about it, we really shouldn't be gendering jewelry, you know. And there is no right way to wear, actually no wrong way to wear jewelry, because it's made to enhance yourself and who you are. And I really think that being non-binary and learning about the third genders that a lot of countries have and a lot of cultures have, like in Oaxaca, you have the Mujer people and how they're seen as sacred. And it makes you feel like, wow, I don't have to be A or B. I can be every single thing that I want to be. And I think jewelry helps me with that. And I think that was a really big goal for me as an artist also, is to make something for anybody and then let them know, like, hey, you can wear this regardless of what you think you are, who you think you are, or where you stand, you know. Because jewelry along with clothing is, at the end of the day, it's a material thing. And you know, material things shouldn't be gendered. There shouldn't be a label on it. And I feel like for the longest time I was told that I couldn't wear something, or I even told myself, like, I can't do this because I don't look this way, or I have to lose weight because then maybe if I look skinnier, then maybe I'll be an acceptable non-binary person. And then once I started piercing my ears and looking at, you know, the Aztec people and the Mayan people, and learning about the non-binary people of Oaxaca, I felt seen. And I was like, you know what, this is what I'm meant to do, and I'm meant to be myself 100%, and I'm meant to help others adorn themselves in whatever way they want, you know. And I, like I said, in my personal style, more is more. Jewelry is my armor, but it is what it is. It's an armor, and your personal armor can be whatever size or you want, whatever material you want. And I feel like that's a that's a great way that jewelry makes you be seen. And right now, I think it's very important that I'm in this journey, because for a very long time, jewelry has been a white man's game, and now like a white woman's game. And you do hear and see of certain people of color that are, you know, up and coming or have been established in jewelry, but none of them look like me. And I feel like that's important. It's important that people should be able to see themselves even in situations of like luxury and wealth, because it eliminates this like barrier that you tell yourself, you know, I'm only this because this is only where I'm supposed to go, you know. And now through jewelry, I've learned to value myself more and to aim higher, because there is no one it can tell you like that it's not for you, because everything is for everybody. And I think that's one of the ways that jewelry can change a person. You know, it gives you self-confidence, and it may sometimes also hold memories. And I think that's the beauty of jewelry and the beauty of art. And I can't wait to see where this goes.